Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to welcome back Dr. Lane Sebring. Dr. Sebring is my doctor, as many of you that have been listening to this show know. He's also the man responsible for changing my health for the better in the hugest way possible over the last year since I've been seeing him here in Austin. I'm also excited to share that this episode on what I'm calling Hormonal Balance 101 or Hormones Talk 101, however you want to look at it. We shot a two-part episode here to go over the basics of understanding hormones, particularly for women. Men, you'll definitely hear some tremendous pointers in here as well, but it's a lot more complex of a situation for women to balance their hormones. And a lot of women think that many of the ongoing chronic conditions they're experiencing in their lives, from hot flashes, you know, body temperature fluctuations of any kind, weight gain, loss of libido or sex drive, skin issues, any of those types of things, sleep issues, insomnia. A lot of people are thinking, well, this is just aging, and it's not. Your hormones are likely out of whack once you start down a path of getting regular blood work, comprehensive blood work. You will start to see what's under the hood, if you will, with your body, and you can change your entire future. And you guys have heard me talk about this regularly. I hope I'm a living example of what getting your hormones in balance can mean for you from a fitness perspective, from a health and wellness perspective, and just an overall longevity perspective. So we recorded this specifically with you folks in mind that are either you've hit a wall, you're at a plateau, you think you can't get anywhere. You're seeing an endocrinologist, maybe you're seeing an OBGYN or your primary care. Maybe they've said they've done blood work for you, but you've never seen that blood work, or you've seen it and it's very limited. There's also folks that are listening that I know haven't even gone down that road yet. They don't know where to start. They don't know what to ask. They're just suffering from all of these issues. And they think that, well, I guess my metabolism's slow because I'm older. Maybe this is what happens after you have kids. Listen to this episode. We will have an ongoing series around this, both on Dr. Sebring's show. He's going to have his own podcast here on the Fitfluential Radio Network later this summer. And this is going to be a continuing series that he and I will be doing on Fitfluential Radio as well. You're also going to see additional opportunities to learn more on fitfluential.com. Be sure you are subscribed there. And just for right now, give yourself the gift of listening to part one and part two of this episode, because I guarantee if you're confused or doubting that you can get past a lot of these issues I mentioned before, the insomnia, maybe migraines, headaches, body temp issues, weight gain, skin issues, lack of libido or sex drive. If any of those or all of those are what you're suffering from and you think you've hit a wall and this is it and your life is all downhill from now, listen to the show, because I guarantee you that after you hear and understand everything, Dr. Sebring did a brilliant job of answering my questions. He really makes it easy to assimilate all of this information and puts it in terms we can all understand. So please listen to both part one and part two. Know that this is just the introduction to a series. Heavily, 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 strongly encourage you after this, if you haven't done it, to get your blood work done. We've actually got some resources that we can link to in the show notes for you. But for right now, please sit back and enjoy this interview with my doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring, on Hormones 101. Everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome back my doctor and the man who has changed my health for the better, forever, and my life. I'm just keeping it real. Dr. Lane Sebring is back on the show. Dr. Sebring, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to get this series started with you.
I am too. Thank you for having me. Well, we are going to dive right in. And for everybody listening, I prefaced this in the introduction, but this is going to be the first of a lot of interviews I'll be doing with Dr. Sebring on our show as well. This is exciting news. Dr. Sebring is going to have his own podcast on Fitfluential Radio launching a little bit later this summer. Ultimately, here's the deal. You've heard us talk on so many of these shows, and so many of you women in particular are writing into us with massive hormonal issues and really kind of hitting a brick wall, either because you're so confused, you know something's wrong with you, and you don't know where to go. You've heard us talk about getting blood work done. You've heard us talk about bioidenticals. And I know from experience, before you start down that path, it can sound overwhelming and confusing, and you think about the cost and you're freaked out. But also, some of you are getting bad treatment, frankly. You're going to an OB, an endocrinologist. You're being put on Xanax and being told you just need to exercise more and eat less to lose weight. You're having all these symptoms. Just know that you're going to start to learn a lot more and understand why it's not all downhill from here. It's not all downhill, and your life is not going to suck after you have kids or after you hit 40 or after you go into perimenopause. It doesn't mean your life is over and that you'll never have sex or want to have sex again, that you'll never look good, feel good, be able to lose weight, have your skin looking awesome. You can actually feel like I do at age 49 and look more forward to the coming decades than looking back and going, oh, those were my best years. So this is, again, the beginning in a series I'm going to be doing with Dr. Sebring. And let's look at today's two-part episode as just hormones 101, you know, understanding, particularly for women, because it's so much easier for men, jealous, what hormones are, if you will, when we're referencing hormonal balance. And so, Dr. Sebring, I think it's probably a good way for us to start with, think about when I'm asking you this question. There's all of these women out in the universe, right? Out in the Fitfluential community, and they're experiencing a lot of the symptoms that you know and love so well. I don't mean to say know and love. They're, you know, whether it's in their 30s, some people are experiencing hormonal decline in their 20s. It could be because of, and I know you'll probably touch on some of these things, birth control, antibiotics, all these different things, but it can happen at any age. They're experiencing these symptoms, lots of weight gain, inability to lose weight at all, no matter, we hear this all the time, and I know you heard this from me when you first saw me. No matter what I do, I can't lose weight. I'm thick around my middle. Women have lost all sex drive. They have no libido. They're complaining because, and their husbands are complaining. Husbands or boyfriends are complaining. They have body temperature issues, hot flashes during the day, sweating during the day, sweating at night, inability to sleep, headaches, migraines, on and on and on. And those are very typical of, I mean, I had all of the above, but there's a lot of people that are experiencing that, and they have no idea when we say you can achieve hormonal balance, and that's what's affecting all of this. Can you give us like a, just when we're talking about hormones, what are the things that we're referring to in our bodies that are causing, you know, all of these symptoms in our lives and making us miserable?
I fell in love with hormones early on because I recognized how powerful they were in helping us feel better, do better, function like we're supposed to function. What's beautiful about them too is they're not a drug, not in my opinion. I think, you know, technically they are, but it's our own chemistry. So it's not introducing some molecule that never existed on the planet until man made it. So our body's very comfortable using them, knows what to do with it. It's kind of like it celebrates when it gets a hormone it's deficient in, and all of a sudden everything goes back to normal and you start to feel like you did at your best. And so the hormones we're talking about typically are estradiol, which is the one that the ovaries made, and that disappears with menopause. And so that's actually a big loss. And we could talk about hunter-gatherers and what they do and why they don't have trouble with losing estrogen, but they have a big change nonetheless. So the estradiol, most women choose to replace, and I always encourage that. I mean, there's almost no contraindication for doing that, but it's also thyroid, and that needs to be done right. And I have to say, very few doctors know how to adjust thyroid or to pick the right one for the patient. It's really an art and the science. Mm-hmm. And then you've got testosterone, because that's a huge problem. I will tell you that the average postmenopausal woman who came into my practice, let's say 15 years ago, her testosterone level was probably average around 50. Okay, so, and that's not bad. Most of them seem to do pretty well. But now that same group of women who are now turning to menopause, their testosterone level is typically below 15. Mm-hmm. And so that is a huge hit to them. They have so many symptoms, and some women say the testosterone does more for me than the estrogen. But they need to be given together. And so then there's cortisol. Cortisol is another hormone that is virtually never checked by physicians these days, and they wouldn't know what to do with it if it was low. They send them to an endocrinologist, and I hate to say it, but that's pretty much worthless. The testing they do makes no sense whatsoever, has nothing to do with helping the person feel better and get back to a balanced state. But cortisol is our stress hormone, but it's also required to get sugar to the brain. You know, I ask people, is there a time in the day when you crash and your energy's over, or you crave carbs in the evening, or stress seems to get in with more of an edge than it used to have, and you're putting on weight around your middle and all of these things? And those are cortisol issues, usually low cortisol.
You mentioned before, and I think so many of these, we could do a whole show on some of these topics, and you and I will talk about that for your show as well. Cortisol being one of them. Cortisol and thyroid should be a whole show. There's so many people dealing with that and unknowingly. But for everybody listening, ladies, a lot of you I know are hearing, oh, testosterone. Well, that's just, a lot of women think that's just for men. And I know when I first went to see the doctor I was seeing out in Phoenix, Dr. Risk, he took my blood work. It was the first time I'd ever had a comprehensive hormonal blood work panel done. And they basically told me that my testosterone was non-existent. Like I had, I think it was less than, like it was down to one, I think. He even said, yeah, you're not even on the charts. When he first put me on bioidenticals, the changes that I had within a couple of days in my sleep were night and day. I suddenly was able to go to sleep, but you know, it was testosterone. Back then I was taking injections, and a lot of women think testosterone is just for men. Can you address that before we move on?
Well, yes. And you need, I hate to say, you need to go to an integrative medicine doctor, one who's an MD or a DO, practicing medicine, licensed to do that, of course, or they can't prescribe the hormones. And then one that's integrated, because their knowledge is far beyond that of the traditional medicine doctor. It's not cookbook, it's tailored to the person. So if you're going to do this, you really need to find somebody who knows what they're doing and loves what they're doing. But testosterone is so foundational. You know, I tell women, well, what happens if I don't have testosterone? I said, well, you won't have any libido, no focus. Your bones will turn to mush. Your ability to build muscle, you can't even maintain muscle. It'll begin to diminish over time, even though you're working out hard without testosterone. So it's all these things. You've seen the little ladies in the nursing homes, and they fall and their skin may come off in sheets when they hit something. And you think, oh my gosh, what a horrible thing. The doctors and the nurses, we try to lay that back over and bandage that up, lay that skin down and to save it. But it's really an unfortunate situation. That's completely unnecessary. That's not natural for a human being. Hunter-gatherer women, actually, their testosterone begins to take over what estradiol did before menopause. And so they actually get stronger after menopause than they were before, and their endurance increases. So that's available to you. It's the bioidentical hormones, and they're safe. And I just love doing this. Mm.
And I can tell you, everybody, again, just to reference, I have been, before I met Dr. Sebring, I was seeing a doctor out in Phoenix. God bless Whitney Jones, my trainer at the time, who insisted, you know, you've heard me tell the story. I went to her and I was just unable to, you know, I think it started for me about 40. and they told me I was in perimenopause, but I just got to the point where no matter all of my training, and I was by this time moving into massive overtraining, 2 hours a day doing the bro diet of like chicken and rice and broccoli and oatmeal all day. And I couldn't lose weight. And it was embarrassing. And it was, they were some of the most emotionally wrought years of my life. But when I started on these bioidenticals, after I got my blood work done, again, the changes were remarkable. And I do remember that when I first started on testosterone injections with the bioidenticals as well, it wasn't just testosterone that I went on. I went from having no testosterone to very high testosterone. But and a lot of women write in and they're scared about this. They think, oh, if a doctor, an integrated medicine doctor, puts me on testosterone, I'm going to look like a man. I'm going to have hair on my face. I'm going to have pimples all over like a roided out bodybuilder. I can tell you, and you know, Dr. Sebring, I'm okay sharing my stuff. I'll say it. You know, like my testosterone's been high. I've never had any weird, like I'm developing a penis kind of, you know, side effects. So can you address women that are scared? They might understand that it's going to help you in the gym. It's going to help you with your sex drive if your sex drive's missing. It's going to help you with your energy. It's going to help you with weight loss. But for those women that are scared that they're going to suddenly look like the Hulk, can you address that?
Well, you know, that is a real fear. And if you've watched some of these women bodybuilders, you can understand why women have that fear. Right. People say, oh my gosh, they're taking steroids or testosterone. You know, the amount they take is insane. And the other thing they don't take is estrogen. You need to have those two together. A woman can take a lot of testosterone, and I don't mean too much, but I mean a pretty high amount, and she won't get any masculinizing effects like a deeper voice, growing hair on her face or places she doesn't want it, that sort of thing. As long as you keep her estrogen at a normal, healthy level, that will prevent that from happening. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, women, when they start to do that, it's because their estrogen is low. The estrogen will displace testosterone where it needs to displace it. And so those two compete. You know, it's kind of the man and woman thing. There's a competition there, but the balance between the two, once they figure out how it's supposed to work, can be magnificent. And that's exactly how it works with the body. And if you find a doctor that has any sense at all about bioidentical hormones and how to use them, and I, like I said before, an integrative medicine doctor, then you're not going to get into that trouble. It's virtually unknown. And here's the other thing. Just in case, if you start to grow a little hair on your chin or somewhere and you're having to pluck that with the hormones, then that's very easily reversed, completely, 100% reversible. Just either lower the testosterone or increase the estrogen. And they go through menopause as growing the hair because they don't have any estrogen.
Yeah. And you make a good point, because for everybody listening, I think you're picking up on this, and I understand this now. Both Dr. Riska and Dr. Sebring both have said this to me, that, you know, women's hormones, all of these things that we talked about, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, the thyroid, cortisol, and then there's some smaller ones, DHEA, pregnenolone, all of those things, they all have to be working together, and it's unique to each one of us. It's almost like how each of us will benefit from a diet approach that's unique to each one of us. You know, some of us might do better on higher carbs, quote unquote. Some of us might do better on fasting. What, you know, some of us, you got to find what's right for you. When it comes to hormones, I have understood that it's like Dr. Riska's quote. He said, men, when they come into my office, they're easy to fix. We adjust their testosterone. Women, it's like a symphony. You've got to adjust, you know, the violins over here, the flutes over here. And it really is like that. But back to what Dr. Sebring just said, when potentially something isn't working and you're saying, oh, well, I'm gaining weight here. Oh, my sleep got worse. That's what you do with the right integrated medicine doctor for you. You're going to report back, and you tweak and you tweak. And then you get to the point where it's a little bit more of maintenance. So there's just keep that in mind, that what we're talking about here is that you can be looking and feeling remarkably better. It does not happen overnight. It is individual. And there is a tweaking process that happens that you need to understand going into this. You know, it's a process. For me, I've been at it for several years. And Dr. Sebring is still working with me and we're tweaking things. But that's as I age as well. And in each of us, depending on where we are with menopause, perimenopause, et cetera, that's going to have an issue or an effect as well. A couple of things, Dr. Sebring, that you've brought up that I'd like you to clarify, because I'm used to talking to you about this, but you've referenced hunter-gatherers, and there's some people that don't know that you're this amazing, for everybody listening, they call Dr. Sebring the paleo doctor. So he's been an advocate of the paleo approach to eating for years and years and years before it was as sexy and common as it is today. But for people that are listening that are not as familiar, Dr. Sebring, can you just explain, one of the things I love before he explains this, everybody, about Dr. Sebring is he really has quite a lot. He does a lot of studying and examining a lot of data of different, for lack of a better way of saying it, indigenous cultures, right? And he'll be able to say, yeah, you know, these people that had this lifestyle, this is what they did, this is what they ate, this is how they lived. And the correlation of disease or lack of disease, hormonals, balance, and so on and so forth. So he references hunter-gatherers a lot. Can you just explain for the audience what that means so they kind of have the context?
This is probably the most important concept in medicine and health that there is, because here it is in a nutshell, and just understand this, and I'll explain it more, but here it is. Chronic diseases like hypertension, diabetes, osteoporosis, autoimmune diseases, allergies, asthma, irritable bowel, all of that is 100% man-made. None of that existed amongst us when we were hunter-gatherers, when we were those people still living in the woods or the deserts or wherever we chose to live and did not grow our own food. We hunted and we gathered. We didn't need to grow our own food. It was plentiful and we were very adapted to the area. But when we added growing our own food into the equation, we did so choosing the wrong foods. Now, because those foods introduce diseases. Here's an example. You've never seen a wild animal overweight. If you were, well, why not? Because they're living the lifestyle they're designed to live, and they eat only those foods they're designed to eat. If you start trying to raise a tiger cub on lettuce, you're not going to get very far. So we really have, our bodies are designed for these foods that we're designed to eat, and not those foods we're not designed to eat. They cause a tremendous amount of disruption. Our genes don't know what to do with them. Our bodies are not being fed the nutrition they're designed to have. Somebody said years ago, you give a cell the nutrition it's designed to have, it will perform the function it's designed to perform. And that is a huge understanding of how we are designed and how we need to respect that. And when you do, you stay healthy throughout your entire life.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
When you study the hunter-gatherers, what you find is that they don't age like we do. In fact, some of the really old bones we've had to reassess because we think that they are younger than they are because they age much more slowly. We have data on 229 groups of hunter-gatherers, and not one of those groups even has a word for any of the arthritides, the joints and achiness and the rheumatoid and osteoarthritis. None of that shows up in those people. They live into their 70s, 80s, and 90s, functioning very well. See, hunter-gatherers die almost universally from one of three causes: trauma, infection, and in their sleep at a ripe old age.
Wow.
Typically dying often well into their 90s, where they just wake up dead one day, and they have danced through the night.
That just sounded funny. I'm sorry.
I don't know how to describe it, but that's kind of what it is. It's really interesting. You know, having danced through the night two nights before, they maintain that functionality in much more of a square wave. In other words, it rises up as a young adult getting more and more powerful about running our day, and our functionality increases. And then we do slow down a little bit, but not much, and then maintain that functionality throughout. And then boom, one day it drops off. And that's a whole nother, I have a theory as to how that all works. It's a lot of fun, and it also gives you something to do about it. But the more you learn about hunter-gatherers, the more you begin to respect our design. And then this being healthy is not so hard. There's a principle. Medicine has no concepts. There isn't one concept that's involved in medicine. It's whatever the research shows. And we know now that we're beginning to distrust that. It becomes more of an advertising scheme than anything else. And so we believe that, and doctors still believe it. I don't know why.
Like red meat is the cause of everything?
It's the staff of life to the American Indians and the Plains, and they were amazing people.
And for everybody listening, by the way, I'm joking, but this is the truth, that a lot of doctors, in fact, you know, my man friend was seeing a doctor about a related issue, and one of his doctors was like, well, you should stop eating red meat. And, you know, Dr. Sebring, I pinged you about that. And I've been told, my father's been told, I've been told, there still are all of these, you know, practitioners out there saying, oh, well, cut out your red meat. Everybody should become a pescatarian or just, you know, fish or vegetarian and just eat vegetables. And, you know, it's absolutely not true, these myths and theories about, and in fact, we're going to publish a couple of these things in regards to cholesterol and red meat that Dr. Sebring has authored on fitfluential.com. But, you know, there's so much misinformation about red meat. I mean, that's a sidebar. We won't go into that, but that's for everybody listening. That's what I was joking with him about is, you know, we have all of this data that he's referring to and that others are referring to. And we encourage you to do the research on hunter-gatherers and, you know, red meat. Don't think that red meat is the devil. It's just not. There's myriad data out there to support otherwise.
Exactly. You know, this conversation that we're having really empowers people if they want to use this information. Because if you just recognize what we've talked about here and that these chronic diseases are man-made, then what that allows you to do is to think, okay, what are we designed to eat? And when you know what those foods are, then you can ask yourself, does this make sense, for example, that one animal is better for you to eat than another? This one causes disease and that one doesn't. That makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. Almost all the animals have everything we need as far as nutrition. Now, we don't eat all their organs and, you know, the liver and the heart and that sort of thing too much anymore. But those are extremely nutrient dense and really wonderful for us to eat, and prized by hunter-gatherers for very good reason. So you get to think about this. When somebody tells you red meat is bad for you, then you need to think, you know, maybe it's what we do to that cattle that makes them sick, and that in turn makes us sick. Maybe if you ate an animal that ate its natural food, its natural diet, like cows eat grass for a living, that's what they do. And so then maybe that red meat wouldn't be so bad. And then you think about it longer and you say, of course that's what it is. It couldn't be anything else.
That's actually a really good point, because, you know, what you referenced earlier, you said, do you see any obese animals out there, right? And I think the only time that maybe somebody listening, the first thing that came to my mind
are when they have cows jacked up on a bunch of hormones that, you know, companies, I won't mention any names, but big companies who want to get more chickens and more cows and whatever in their stores for a lower price, that's what they're doing. They're injecting these animals with hormones, putting them in ridiculous living conditions where they can't move around. But that's because, you know, then when you go to Walmart or Sam's Club or whatever it is, you're going to find, I had to have this conversation with my parents. Like when you buy that huge rotisserie chicken, that's like the size of Texas and it's $5, that's not a normal size of a chicken. And so what he's saying here makes absolute sense. In their natural state, in their natural habitat, animals are lean and optimized. When they're in an unnatural environment, they're going to look differently, but also that if we're consuming those animals, right, that's what we're consuming as well. And all of this stuff from a big picture is what's affecting hormones in all of us. That's why there's this very common thing. And sometimes I just had this conversation with somebody else who didn't understand that I said, I got my period when I was young in 10th grade. They're like, 10th grade? I got my period when I was 10. Like girls are getting their period younger and younger and younger. And that's, I don't know, clearly I'm not the doctor here, but that's not normal. And those are things, would you say, I don't want to take us too far off topic, but would you say that when there's this epidemic of young girls reaching puberty and starting to develop and getting, you know, breasts and pubic hair and getting their period when they're 9 or 10 years old, that that's an effect of potentially these hormones being passed down through food?
Absolutely. And of course, there are. The hormones do come in through the food. It's a part of our everyday life. You know, in 1900, the average American girl started her period at 17. And that was plus or minus 2 years. So from 15 to 19 was normal. And so now it's about 10, like you said, even below. It's ridiculous what we've done. Of course, there's other factors. There's plastics and fertilizers and pesticides and all of those things tend to also work as hormonal disruptors. So the body gets confused and its signals are destroyed.
Yeah. And you know what else I was thinking is back to, you know, a lot of what we'll cover today is, and it's not that the point of this discussion is not to bash particular doctors. There's a lot of education that needs to happen in the medical space. We see it starting to happen now, for sure. So understand that, you know, doctors have been taught a way of practicing medicine for a while, and it's only doctors, for example, like Dr. Riska, like Dr. Sebring, and some folks that we're going to mention at the end of the show, who have taken it upon themselves to study integrated medicine because they're passionate about doing something other than prescribing a pharmaceutical and an antidepressant. And I keep thinking that a lot of the doctors that are saying cut out red meat in the same thing, they're handing you with their left hand a prescription, you know, for Xanax or, you know, all these prescriptions that we see. When you watch CNN, every commercial, we watch CNN a lot, and there's just every commercial. I was saying to my man, I'm like, do you see that everyone is a pharmaceutical? And it's for, do you have gas? Take this. Do you have, you know, indigestion? Take this. It's like, why don't we figure out what we're doing wrong in our lives from a lifestyle and food perspective versus a pill? And again, that's a whole other episode. So I will keep us on course because I have shiny object syndrome, Dr. Sebring, as you know. And whenever I go visit him for a doctor's appointment, it can end up being that the nurse has to come in and go, stop asking, you know, answering Kelly's questions about the universe. We have to go. He has other patients. So I have to respect that. But I guess for everybody listening, hopefully you're starting to pick up on the big picture, you know, so much about our health, and that remains true as well for hormones, can be addressed by lifestyle and by food. And then in this case, a lot of what we're going to talk about is that hormonal balance can be achieved with bioidenticals. That doesn't mean you're going on steroids. And that might actually be a good question to illustrate here, because you mentioned that earlier. We were talking about bodybuilders, and people will look at, you know, female bodybuilders and think, you know, they're on steroids, and they think that's what hormones are. Is there a way to describe the difference between taking steroids in that type of a context and hormones from a bioidentical perspective?
Night and day. It's what they're doing is really an aberration when they take these huge. These are very, very powerful steroids, much more powerful than testosterone, sometimes up to 14 times more powerful.
Really?
And so it really has a profound effect, and it's designed basically just to build the muscle. Unfortunately, you know, I know of a young woman that, not a patient of mine, but just a drop-dead gorgeous young woman and very feminine, and she had a natural shape that was just, you know, most guys would think you couldn't go past that in terms of improvement from their perspective. But she kept doing these steroids and doing lifting weights, and her jaw grew and everything, and her voice got deep, and it just changed her completely. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about maybe a Wonder Woman type of body. Women are designed to be strong and graceful and fast and agile and doing all these things. Maybe it'd be a good idea to talk about hunter-gatherers just a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the things that I think we don't really appreciate is our human potential. And when you study hunter-gatherers, you begin to say, oh my gosh, that's our genes. They are exactly the same as us. We are genetically identical to hunter-gatherers. And so, yet, most hunter-gatherer groups, their vision is so powerful, they can see the moons of Jupiter. They can smell the urine of an animal from 40 paces away. They can feel the heat of another human being from 25 feet away on their own skin.
Wow.
This is the senses we're born with, we're supposed to have.
Really?
They studied the Hadza, which are hunter-gatherers in Africa, and they put little GPS watches on them, and they checked them in at night and put them on them in the morning. And they looked at how far they went during the day. And when the men went out on a hunt, the old guys in their 70s, 80s, and 90s went out with the young men on the hunt. And they went just as far and just as fast. And that's what I mean. This square wave of functionality is sort of, people don't appreciate the potential we have to maintain that functionality. And you were talking about, you know, we're talking earlier about how women have, you know, all these symptoms, you know, oh my gosh, what's it going to be like when I'm 60 if I feel like this at 50? Mm-hmm. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. An incredible improvement is possible, even to the point of feeling better than you've ever felt. And that's in your 60s and even 70s. I have patients that say that.
I can testify to that because I've said it several times as these discussions have come up on the show interviewing other guests. And the truth is that, in fact, I posted something on Facebook the other day and it was a picture that came up. You know how they say, remember this? And it was from 9 years ago. And I was looking at this picture and I remember how I felt. I remember how I was dressing. Every single moment of my life was about, I'm always getting hot. I always have sweat dripping down my back. My clothes didn't feel good. I wore the same, I had an entire wardrobe of Ann Taylor black stuff because I was just camouflaging all the time. And I was so much, I had no muscle tone. I couldn't fall asleep without Excedrin PM all the time. No matter how hard I worked out, I was just the same. Nothing changed. And I certainly am still on my way. I'm so much better. But for me, I truly feel at age 49 better than I did at age 29, without question. I feel better about what we're going to accomplish as we keep tweaking my program. And I'm just confident. I don't fear like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I haven't gone through menopause yet, but I don't fear it because I'm like, well, first of all, I have Dr. Sebring. So there's that. And, but secondly, I just, now that I'm understanding all of these things can be managed. And that's really a kind of a good way to say it is you have this symphony of internal hormonal issues, right, going on, but you can manage it. And everything, ladies, that he's saying, I'm thinking of some ladies I know in particular that I've talked to, they are coming to me miserable. They're like, oh my God. I mean, I was talking to one woman and we were doing a Skype FaceTime call, and the whole time she's fanning herself and she's sweating and she's like, I'm hot all the time. I can't sleep. I don't ever want to have sex with my husband. I've gained weight. I'm embarrassed because he's working out and he's losing weight and I'm working out and I'm not losing weight. We hear this all the time. So please know that there is hope. And we're also going to address in a few minutes a lot of what some of you ladies are experiencing when you go to a doctor like your primary care doctor or your OBGYN, or if you're going to an endocrinologist or an acupuncturist who's putting you on something without doing blood work or without doing comprehensive blood work. And if that's the case, you're probably frustrated because you're basically being given, I don't know, half a prescription. You're not being given what really can optimize you. And that's probably what we want to head into and explain next. But Dr. Sebring, you did a good explanation of steroids versus hormones. And again, describing hunter-gatherers and how optimized they are. I don't think any of us realize our bodies are a machine. If we treat them like the temple that they are, we can optimize, and aging should not be something to dread.
Thanks for listening so far. Please tune in. This is the end of part one of my interview with Dr. Lane Sebring on Hormones 101. Please tune into episode part two.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.